Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome back to English with Kirsty. Today I want to tell you about something that happened last week because I think it's probably relevant to many of us who are using our additional languages, maybe not all the time, not as part of our day-to-day jobs, but something that we do sometimes, and how it feels to be a participant rather than a trainer. I thought that was really important for me. So I signed up for a workshop in German with Marta. Actually, she's been on the podcast a couple of times, so you may remember her from the podcast. And if you are a German speaker, I'll add her link to the show notes page so that you can check out what else she's doing. Her workshops are in German and they're aimed at freelancers, translators. Well, they let me in, so you don't have to be a translator. But it's really people who are freelancers, work for themselves, and there are topics like this one was about planning and organizing and what we want to achieve in 2025. So I won't really share about the content of the workshop because that's not relevant to the podcast, because it's personal to each business owner who got involved in the workshop. You know, we take away ideas of things that we want to implement, and we had discussions that are really for the people that were there. But the reason that I'm talking about it here is to share some of the things that I observed about myself and my behavior as somebody who was working in one of their additional languages. Some of them are good, some of them not so much. They're things that I can work on. But I think it's really important that we keep learning and growing, and that I'm not just a language trainer, I'm also somebody who wants to develop her own skills in her additional languages. And I think sometimes the things that I learn can be useful for people in a similar situation. So that's why I'm talking about that today. I have 7 points and I'm just going to quickly go through them. The things that I learned as someone participating in a meeting in German, because I do use German in my courses, sometimes with meetings with customers, but that's not really an event. That's not really being a participant at an event. It's just having a meeting. So for me, it was different, and maybe I should look for other opportunities where I can use my German at events like this, because I think it's definitely a good skill to have and one that can get a bit rusty if you don't do it, because I used to use German in meetings all the time a few years ago, and now my job has changed and I don't. So maybe I need to find some more events to attend. So 7 things. The first thing is that I usually am really present and I listen and I'm really curious about what other people have to say. And I was too, but at the beginning, my mind started to wander like, oh, it's my turn. So what will I say? What part is more important? How shall I share? You know, and that's not being present. That's thinking about what you want to say. And I know some people generally don't listen ever in any language. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those of us that do usually pay attention. And sometimes maybe it's through nerves, maybe it's through being in a new situation, we start thinking about what our contribution should be or how we want to make our point. And I think that can happen more when you're working in an additional language, because the thoughts don't form as quickly. I think that happens with me less in German than it did when I was attending meetings in Romanian. But I still caught myself doing it at the beginning. And then I thought, no, stop, be present, listen to what's happening around you and figure your own stuff out when it's your turn to share, like everyone else has to, you know. So it's something that we can do, but it doesn't help us to do that. It's better to be really present in the meeting, listening to what the others are saying, because you get to know them better. You can comment maybe on things that other people are saying, but you can't do that if you're stressing about what you're going to contribute. The second thing was just a reminder for me that nobody speaks as fast as I think I need to. And I do speak quite quickly. I try not to, because I've been asked to slow down a couple of times at international events. And if you want people to understand you, then sometimes it pays to slow down a bit, to be really clear, and so that to give people the time that they need as well, the pauses, so that they can digest what you've said before you move on to the next thing. But I was observing how the other people at the meeting were speaking. Some of them were using, German was their first language. I don't know about everyone. I wasn't the only one who wasn't, but even for the people who were operating in their first language, nobody was in a hurry. It was a really nice atmosphere in the meeting. There was time and nobody was rushing. And I think that's a really good, important thing to remember. Sometimes we do it because we think that it's good if we're fast because then our turn is over and we don't have to speak. Sometimes it's because we feel that in order for others to take us seriously and to think that we really know this language, we have to speak it quickly. And that's not true. I mean, if there are a lot of pauses, I don't know what I want to say. Yeah, then that is a bit frustrating. It can be. But lots of people take their time with speaking, and it's good to do that, to be clear. The third thing is the main thing, I guess, for me, but it was the third thing that came to mind was how I'm at the stage where I could express my ideas and opinions. There was nothing that I didn't say, but when I thought about how I would have made my points in English, I know it would have been more impactful. I don't think I would have given any more information, but I would have tied things together better, where I would have explained the why certain things were important, or just brought the whole point together in a better way. So I think it's just to do with practice. And I keep saying to my clients, practice will make it easier. And it's true. And I'm out of practice. So whilst I was happy with what I shared, everything was true, everything was what I wanted to say, and I don't think I left anything out. I know that there's room for improvement for me in being able to do that in a way that sounds more articulate, as I would have hopefully achieved had it been in English. I'm really glad it wasn't in English, but that shows me that I can still maybe find some other things to attend or find some other reasons to be using German in a business context in a more regular way. Because I think it shows, I don't really struggle to show my personality in German now, but I think I could sound a bit more intelligent than I did. So for me, that's just something to be aware of, that it is just so much easier to express yourself in your first language, especially if you're not used to doing that in your other languages in spontaneous situations. And that is why I have the opportunities that I do for my customers, for coming to the club or attending the course, speaking English speaking skills for freelance translators course, or the mentoring, or the other things that I have, because I know that this is important and I was reminded myself that it was important last week. So number four is doing something in another language is tiring, even when it's fun. So that was true. I was quite tired after 3 hours. I mean, a 3-hour workshop is going to be tiring anyway for everyone, whether you're delivering it or participating. But doing that in German, I felt more tired than I would in English. And I think that's just because I haven't done that for a while. So I'm not saying that always using an additional language is extra tiring, but I think it's especially if you haven't done it for a while, it's tiring. And it's really important to make all your notes in the language that the event's in. So I did that. Actually, when I was making the notes for the podcast, I didn't do that because I didn't want to translate them. And then I was writing notes in two languages, and that was more work then, less work now. So I thought, okay, I'll make the notes of the podcast in English. But anything related to the event that I was attending, any notes about the exercises that we were doing, that was all in German because it's too much work to keep switching. And also, if you want to share something afterwards, you have to work really fast and translate from your notes, which takes more effort when the spotlight's on you. So that's not a great thing to do. So always keep to the language that the event's in if you want to make your life easier, because then you're thinking in that language as well. Number five is it can be a distraction, like checking for the perfect words or the perfect phrase. I didn't have I didn't use my dictionary. I think I used it once towards the end because I wanted to check something, but I intentionally didn't have access to it because I thought, no, you figure out what you can say with what you have. Would I have done that in Romanian? I don't know, but generally I did because I thought I've got enough words, enough knowledge in German. Yeah, and also don't be too ashamed to ask because I'm sure anybody there would have helped me if I'd been searching for a word. I wasn't. But it's okay to ask if there are other speakers of the language that you're speaking. Not sure, but try to do what you can with what you have, and you'll be surprised often that you do actually know more than you think. Number six, one of the most positive ones is that doing things in another language can give you another perspective. When you're really thinking in the other language and thinking about how you would express your ideas, sometimes words will come and or ideas will come and you think, yeah, I don't know how I'd express that in English without thinking about it. But it's giving you access to, for me, it's like another part of who I am, like all the Kirsties who speak different languages. And sometimes you can get real insights if you do this exercise whereby you're planning, for example, in another language or thinking about a problem and what the solution could be. Sometimes I do that just to give myself a bit of distance or to give myself a bit of perspective. It can really help in the whole creativity or problem-solving areas to just try it in one of your other languages. And you might be surprised that you get inspiration or ideas that you maybe wouldn't have got otherwise. And number seven is about networking. So we don't always see it this way, but any kind of training or event that isn't a networking event is also has the potential to be a networking event. So for me, it was a really nice opportunity to meet German speakers and other people in the language industry and people we it's easy nowadays because we have LinkedIn, you can connect with people and stay in touch with people. But I think sometimes that's an opportunity missed that we don't always see training as an opportunity for networking and meeting new people as well. So, yeah, maybe nobody wants to keep in touch with anybody, but most of the time nowadays, people are willing to share their LinkedIn links and to continue the conversation. So I think that's a really nice thing to do with training events anyway, but especially if you would like some more people in your network who speak your additional languages or would like to get their perspectives on things moving forward, then it's also good to do that follow up to stay in touch or maybe to send people a LinkedIn invitation so that you can stay in touch with them. So there are the seven things that I learned. Nothing really that was new to me, or maybe apart from that the speaking rate was something I haven't thought about for a while, and I wanted to see how I would perform as somebody who hadn't really used German in this context before. I remember we had a, I can't even remember who organized it, but there was an event where you were put into pairs and we spoke with someone else. This was a long time ago, to answer questions related to our businesses and to discuss different topics, but that was a one-to-one thing, and that was a bit less pressure than being in a group with other people. Although I wouldn't say that what I did was a pressured environment, it was very, very nice, very friendly. But I think sometimes it's good for us if we want to do more in terms of speaking our additional languages, not just using them. It's good to find some situations where we can go, some events to attend where we know it will be a nice atmosphere where we'll hopefully learn something as well, but we also have the opportunity to put our speaking skills to the, well, not to the test because that sounds like you pass or fail, but to practice them and to develop them. So if you are looking to do that for your English, I have a number of events and courses and things going on. So it's always good to, if you want to know what they are, check my LinkedIn newsletter because I have a list that I publish at the beginning of every month. You can also sign up for my website's newsletter, which has a bit more in it in terms of the podcast events. And I've just reorganized my website again. So a lot of the information is the same, but the homepage is different now to make it clear what the different events are that I have, what's the difference between them and who they're for, and hopefully now this new structure on EnglishwithKirsty.com will be easier for people to find what they're looking for. That was what I decided to do last week. And it's done. So I hope everyone has a good week. We will soon be starting a new series on the podcast to celebrate the 10 years of English with Kirsty. I have some ideas about that and some people who are going to help me, and it's going to be really interesting, I'm sure. So there's that to look forward to. And I've got some other guests who have agreed to come on the podcast as well to talk about other topics. So I have lots of plans for the podcast this year. And yeah, I hope everyone has a good week. And I'll be back again soon with next week's episode is another guest. So look forward to that. Have a good week and have fun with your language skills.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.